chapter 13. This is part two of this morning's message, and we're going to make this. You can get on both one CD. You should be able to get both messages. Brother Don have those. Genesis chapter 13. We looked at Genesis chapter 13. We looked at Genesis 18. We looked at Genesis 19, some of those places this morning. And we're preaching on the sin of Sodom. The sin of Sodom. And we preached this morning about the seriousness of that sin. And we saw in Genesis 13:13 where it said, the Lord said, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We saw where God destroyed a whole city and brought down the judgment of hell, fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Saw there in Genesis 18 where it said that sin went up to the face of God and it was very grievous. And we saw the seriousness of this sin before the Lord. We saw that not all sins are the same. We saw this morning about the sickness of that sin. How that sin, just the mental sickness, there people involved in that sin are 8 times more likely to commit suicide. They're more 7 times more likely to be in depression and drug abuse. And UAB has just recently set up a whole mental hospital, a ward over there for those people because of the mental problems they have. We looked at the physical sickness they have. Looked at AIDS, wiping them out. We looked at the spiritual sickness of that sin. 69% of all serial killers are homosexuals. 43% of all children that are raped and murdered, 43% are homosexuals. And yet, brethren, only 1.6% of the population in America identify as LGBT, as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. 1.6 identify as homosexuals. 71% of Americans claim to be born again Christians. And yet the 71% that's claimed to be Christians and claim to love God, claim to believe the Bible, we are getting trampled by the 1.6 over here. And what I gave you this morning, Obama knows, Dick Cheney knows, push that, Mitt Romney knows. Everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody knows the judgment of God fell on that. Everybody knows about AIDS. And you would think with the AIDS and the mental problems and all the things that comes along with this sin, you would think just decently, Jeremiah, just by decency, you would try to put a stop and a curtail on this sin. And yet this sin is glorified and it's glamorized throughout our nation. How do you explain it? We have been seduced this morning, this evening. And I'm going to show you that this evening. Jeremiah, would you take us to the Lord in prayer before the message? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Take your Bible tonight and turn over to Genesis chapter 13 and get 2 Peter chapter 1. And I will preach on the seduction of Sodom tonight. We preached on the seriousness and the sickness this morning, showing you how wicked that sin, how depraved it is, how far it's gone, and yet 1.6 of the population has taken control of this nation. They've taken control of a generation. We have been seduced by that sin. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13 verse 12. Genesis 13, 12. And it says, Abram, watch this, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians today? You know what's wrong with probably some of the people in Pearl Lake Baptist Church tonight? They have pitched their tent toward Sodom. The Bible said, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Lot knew that. Lot knew that. And yet it says, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Right now in America, in the churches all over the place, most Americans, they have pitched their tent leaning toward Sodom. Even the preachers, even the Christians, they're leaning that way. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Jesus said in Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. God has the answer how we've been seduced. I'm going to give it to you without a doubt. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says this, think we God without ceasing. When you receive the word of God, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Amen. The only way that Bible will work effectively in you is to believe it as the word of God. And when God lays down something, when He says the men of Sodom were sinners and wicked before the Lord exceedingly, they're sinners and wicked before the Lord exceedingly. And Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Man, this Bible's amazing. So how do we get seduced, Brother Terry? It's right here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Watch this. Watch this. God knows what He's talking about. He just sneak up on it. Here's exactly what's happened to America, what's happened to the Christian world, what's happened to this country. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. I mean, that right there should wake some people up. Amen? Verse 7. Watch this. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, watch this, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Says about Lot, Bible, the Lord says this, the Lord said that he was a just man, and the Lord said he was a righteous man, and the Bible tells us in Genesis 13:12 that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the Bible says that that righteous man vexed his soul. You know what the soul is? That's the innermost being that you have. That's what controls you. That's your emotion. That's your love. That's the thing that drives you. And the Bible said that Lot, a righteous man, vexed his soul in doing what they did. Not what it said, did it? It said he vexed his soul. How? In seeing and hearing what they did. Doesn't say he did it. The Bible said he was righteous. But just by looking and hearing what they were doing, the Bible said it vexed his soul. And he was seduced by those people. And I'll show you that in a minute. You know what's happened to America? Our soul has been vexed. The word vexed means to be cursed. It means to be corrupt. And his soul was corrupted and cursed by seeing and hearing what they were doing. He didn't do it, the Bible said, but just hearing it and seeing it, it vexed the soul of that righteous man. You know what's going on in our country right now? Brother, we are being blasted with homosexuality and sodomy and perversion day and night. Every time you turn on the TV right now, they are glamorized and glorified across that thing. 62% of evangelical Christians today support same-sex marriage. We have been seduced in this country just like Lot did. Washington Post, June 26th of this year, after the same-sex marriage, in an article, I've got all these articles, by the way, up here printed, and the title of it says, "How Unbelievably Quick Public Opinion Changed on Gay Marriage." That was the title of it. Says this, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision legalizing same-sex marriage on Friday, President Obama noted, "Compared to so many issues, America's shift has been so quick." I mean, this thing just sped through. And the next part of this article says, boy, is he ever right. As recently as 2004, presidential election, Republicans were crediting George W. Bush re-election victory to ballot initiatives banning same-sex marriage that helped drive conservatives to the poll. Less than 11 years later, same-sex marriage is now legal in every state in America. It says this, "That sort of reversal in public opinion, particularly on a social issue, is unique in all of modern American political history." Quote, "This is unprecedented shift in public opinion," Republican pollster George Bogler says. "In 20 years, we've never seen anything like this." What happened? We have been seduced. The people in America have been blasted with this sin. It's been promoted and glorified and glamorized. And like Lot, they didn't participate. But just in seeing and hearing, they have vexed their soul. Atlantic Magazine, July 1st, 2015. "How Gay Marriage Became a Constitutional Right." It says this, "The High Court's view of the legitimacy and constitutionality of same-sex marriage changed radically. In the span of 43 years, the notion has gone from pure ridiculous to constitutionally mandated." How did it happen, it said. I mean, we went overnight in this thing. And everybody in this nation knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody knows about AIDS. President Obama knows it. Those five people that sat on the Supreme Court and legalized this, they know the effects of AIDS. They know the effects of this sin. They know what's going on. And yet they zoomed it through. Magazine says this, "In 1971, sodomy was a crime in nearly every state. Gays were routinely persecuted and barred for public and private employment, and homosexuality was classified as a mental illness." What changed? That's what the article says. What changed? It wasn't the Constitution. It says, it was the country. And it says, and what changed this country was a movement. We have been seduced. 1.6% of the population identifies that. 71% identifies as Christians, and yet this sin of Sodom has taken over our nation. It says this, "It has become a political cliche to wonder at how quickly public opinion has changed on gay marriage in recent years. Support for marriage between homosexuals measured at 60% this year. 1996, it was less than 27%. 62% of evangelical Christians now support it. Pew Research. Pew Research began polling in 2001. Americans opposed same-sex marriage by 57% in 2001. By 2015, over 65% of Americans now support it. They said this in an article, "The rise in support for same-sex marriage over the past decade is among the largest changes of opinion on any policy history in history." What change is filthy, depraved, sin? Brethren, we have been seduced. Just like Lot. We got people like Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo is an evangelical Christian. He used to take a strong stand against homosexuality. The last few months, he came out in support of same-sex marriage. He said, quote, "I have come to know so many gay Christian couples whose relationship work in much the same way as our own. Our friendships with these couples have helped me understand how important it is for the inclusion and disapproval of their unions by the Christian community. And we in the church should actively support such wonderful families." You say, what happened? In seeing and hearing, he vexed his soul and threw that Bible in the garbage in the same time. First Baptist Church, the first Southern Baptist Church founded by president, by the first president of the Southern Baptist Church in South Carolina, the South Carolina Church that was founded by the Southern Baptist Convention's first president, has adopted a new non-discriminatory policy that would allow for the congregation to not only marry same-sex couples, but also ordain them, openly ordain gay, lesbian, and transgender ministries at the Southern Baptist Church that helped start the Southern Baptist movement. You say, what happened, preacher? They have been seduced. They're not participating. They're not sodomites. But like Lot, in seeing and hearing and getting around them, like Tony Campolo, he said, "I got around some of these people. They're nice and sweet. So I just threw my Bible in the garbage." What he did. You see what happened? Just like Lot, in seeing and hearing, they vexed their souls. Brother Calvin Wilson, the Indian that's come here and preached before. I heard him preach at Glory Land here a couple of months ago, their camp meeting. Brother Calvin Wilson preached. And he got up there and preached, Brother Robert. He talked about a preacher that was one of his mentors. He said he was a man of God. He said he had the power of God on him, Miss Carol. He said he was one of his buddies. He said now he's a sodomite living with another sodomite. Brother Calvin said he saw him at a funeral a while back and tried to get him, and the guy run and said, "I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me." You say, what happened, preacher? He vexed his soul. You see, that soul's a part of you that controls you. That's your emotions. That's what you love. That's what gets hold of you. And it said, Lot vexed his soul in seeing and hearing. Our world, we have been seduced. 1.6% of the population is all that identifies this. And when you take in the tragedy of AIDS and all the diseases and the mental anguish and the physical violence and the serial killer, somebody would stop and say, "Folks, we need to think this over." But they're not. We are being blasted by this sin. Caitlyn Jenner. That, whatever it is, I don't have a name for it. I don't know. Sodomite's the best. I like that term, by the way. That's what the Bible, that's the only term they don't like. They like queer now. They're proud about that one. And they like faggot. And they like homosexual. But the one term they don't like, Brother Robert, is sodomite. And you know why? It comes out of that book. And that's the one I use, by the way. I use what God uses. They took Caitlyn Jenner, that guy that looks just, I mean, it just makes me want to throw up. At ESPN, Brother Bob, I'm talking about a major, major sports channel, gave him the Arthur Ashe Award for courage. You say, for what? Being a filthy sodomite. That's all he did. Arthur Asher was a black tennis player that died of cancer and heart disease. And he was a man of courage. And they took this guy in a sports thing, Brother Robert, and prayed to that pervert up there. What has happened to this nation? Have we all gone just totally mad? We've been seduced in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. A few years back, Jason Collins, NBA basketball player, came out to the world and said, I'm gay. I'm a sodomite. President Obama, the President of the United States, got on the phone and called him and said, I've never been so proud of anybody in my life. We have been seduced. Michelle Obama tweeted to him, said, keep it up, Jason Collins. Thank you for your courage. I'm so proud of you, she said. This is a huge step for our country. We've got you back. Say, what has happened? We have been vexed. A man stands up and says, I'm a sodomite. Something that God destroyed a city. Something that God said in Leviticus 20, Leviticus 18, I read this morning, that he said is abomination. Something that when this country was found, all 13 states punished it by death. Something that until 1962, every state in the Union, it was a felony. And they knew it. And now we got the president of the United States personally calling a man up because he comes out with his sin blatantly. And he said, I've never been so proud of anybody in my life. He said, what's going on? People hear that. And kids hear that. And seeing and hearing it vexes their soul. Every television show nowadays is parading around sodomites and pervades on it. You know it? They got a show. And I hadn't seen any of these. I looked them up on the internet. I Am Jazz, a 15-year-old boy that believes he's a girl. Becoming Us. Two men that are transforming and going through sexual reassignment to be a woman. I Am Kate, Bruce Jenner, Orange Is the New Black, Laverne Cox, who's a boy that thinks he's a girl from Alabama. Biggest Loser, lesbian Julian Michaels. The Fosters, led by lesbian mothers. Sirens, a police show featuring homosexual policemen. iZombie, Modern Family, American Idol, Neil Patrick, Ellen G. Jenner, The View, The Real House, over and over and over. These shows are promoting and glorifying this sin. And just like Lot, just like that Bible said, he vexed his soul. He is a righteous man, Miss Liz, the Bible said. And yet, Brother Bob, he vexed his soul in seeing and hearing. He didn't participate. Just by watching this stuff. My wife, she likes that house hunter show. Comes on, you know, they get on there and look for houses. Y'all ever see that? And I mean, that thing now, you turn it on, and you got two little sodomites running through that thing. Of course, we turn it quick as we can. I about throw up, we don't get that thing turned. I mean, what has that got to do with house hunters? You say, what's going on? They're preaching a message. Our TV commercials. They spend millions of dollars on these commercials. Tylenol, West Fargo, Taco Bell, Hallmark, Nabisco shredded wholesome graham cracker, Cabani yogurt, Renault cars, Expedia travel, Amazon Kindle, Kindle on and on and on. Those commercials are promoting and putting on sodomites and lesbians. That has nothing to do with advertising a product. You know what they're doing? They're preaching a message. And they're vexing the soul of this country. 62%, brethren, of evangelical Christians now support this. It's unbelievable. And just like Lot. And you know the worst thing about it? Our kids are being seduced. You know how this affects the most? Is the kids. And this thing is seducing this generation. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Remember what the Bible says? It said in 2 Peter 2, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of that wicked. Just hearing what they were saying. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. How? Just seeing and hearing it. Look at Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. God comes in there and he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll pick it up verse 4. Genesis 19:4. Watch this. Genesis 19:4 says this. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the man of Sodom, compassed the house round. They surrounded it. Both young and old. Look at that. All the people from every quarter. That sin had taken over that city. That had seduced them, and Lot was right there among them. In both the young and the old, it seduces all of them. Look what it says. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. There was no romance. There was no courtship. There was no attraction. All they wanted to do is have sex with them. That's all they wanted to do. Didn't matter who they are. They surrounded the house, both young and old, and they said, bring them out so that we can know them. I gave statistics this morning. How that, according to statistics, let me give you this. Some of you weren't here. How many of these people, some of them in a study, Paul and Winberg in their classic study I gave you, they found that 43% of white male homosexuals had sex with 500 or more partners. 28% had over 1,000. In their study of sexual profiles, published in the Journal of Sex Research, all this is documented. I got it over here. It's on the internet. Paul Van De Ant found that the average range for the number of sexual partners was between 101 and 500. 15.7% had between 501 and 1,000. 15.7% reported having more than 1,000. Different partners. No romance. No natural affection. There was nothing there but pure depravity. And Asher, you know when Genesis 19 was written? It was written in 1898 B.C. Nearly 4,000 years ago, and it reads like today. What's going on today? And they surround the house, both young and old, from every quarter. And they said, send the man out, and we can know him. No natural affections. No courtship. No nothing. Pure depravity. Look what it says. And Lot went out at the door unto him, and shut the door after him. Watch this. And said, I pray you, brethren. Lot had linked up with them. I mean, he had been there with them, Brother Robert. He called them brethren. I pray, brethren, don't do this. I'd like to heard him say, hey, you filthy Sodomites, get out of here. He said, hey, brethren, calm down. Don't do this. You see, that righteous man had vexed his soul. His emotion, his love had been cursed. Look what it says. Watch this. Next verse. Behold now, I have two daughters. My goodness. Every time I read that, Brother Robert, I want to punch him in the mouth. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do to you them good in your eyes. Only of these men do nothing, for therefore they came there in the shadow of my roof. You know what he was willing to do, Brother Anthony? He is willing to give them his precious two daughters to protect those sodomites. He was protecting them. He is saying, don't hurt these guys. I want you just to take my two daughters, they're virgins, and just take them and do whatever you want to with them. So what happened to that guy, preacher? He vexed his soul. That soul, that thing you love, it's a center of emotion. Him daughters that he loved brought to the world, Brother Bob, he told those sodomites, take them and do what you want to with them. That's where we're at in America. We've been seduced just like Lot. You know what those men? Look what it says. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, here, this is today right here. This one fella came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. That's what they're saying today. Don't judge me, preacher. Judge not lest you be judged. That's 1898 B.C. and that's the same message today. Don't you judge us while we're doing. Christians, don't tell us it's wrong. We're going to get married. We want to be normal. That's what they're saying today. Bible said over there, needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And we are giving our children to these people. Robert Gates, head of the Boy Scouts, who was Secretary of Defense, ought to know better. He was appointed by George Bush. He used to be Secretary of Defense over the military. Just lift the ban on gay scout leaders and they're going to turn the kids loose to them people. He needs to read Genesis 19. They surrounded the house and they were ready to break the door down. They didn't want those girls. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. They said, we don't want these virgin girls. We want these men without natural affection. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand. That's the angels, by the way. Bible calls them men. But the men put forth their hand and they pulled Lot into the house unto them and shut the door. Watch this. And they spoke the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I mean, those angels went over there and smote them with blindness, Brother Anthony. That didn't even stop them. They're still trying to get to that door. Listen, age didn't slow them down. God sent a disease through that thing, killing them by the thousands, and it didn't slow them down. That sin got so hold of them, couldn't stop them. Angel reached down there and blinds them. And they're still trying to get through that door. And that righteous man vexed his soul in seeing and hearing. Keep reading. And the man said to Lot,
Hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had no testimony. They didn't believe a word he said. You say, that righteous man has vexed his soul. You know why today 71% of the born-again Christians don't have the power of 1.6% of the sodomites? Because we have vexed our soul in seeing and hearing. Just like Lot went and preached to them. Said, God's going to bring judgment down here. And the Bible said they laughed and mocked him. That's what they're doing today to God's people. You say, why? We vexed our soul in seeing and hearing. Lot was that righteous man. Keep reading. And when the morning arose, watch it. Then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take that wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. Lot knew what God was going to do. Lot knew that God was going to bring fire and brimstone. He was going to burn this city up. And look at verse 16. And while he lingered, he didn't want to leave, knowing the judgment of God was about to fall. The angel had come, he saw him smite him with blindness. And that righteous man who had vexed his soul in seeing and hearing, knowing God was about to judge that place, didn't want to leave. You say, what happened, preacher? We have been seduced in this nation, just like this righteous man. Look what it says. And while he lingered, the man, that's those angels, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the head of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to drag Lot out of Sodom. After the man got him beat at his door to tear it down, after knowing that God was going to destroy it, they had to drag him by the hand, Brother Bob, Brother Lonzo. They had to pull him. They took him out of the city and set him out of the city. The Bible said he was a just man. The Bible said, God said this, he was a righteous man that vexed his soul, not his flesh, that center of that motion, that part that controls him. And he didn't want to leave. They had to grab him by the hand and pull him out after all that. He vexed his soul. Keep reading. And it came to pass, verse 17, when they had brought him forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Look what it said. Escape to the mountain. You know what a mountain is in the Bible? That's where God dwells. I taught you about mountains a while back. That's where God put Moses on that mountain. And that's what he said, go up to that mountain with the Lord. Lot don't want to go there. Look what he says. And Lot said unto him, oh, not so, my Lord. I don't want to go up there. I want to stay right here. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and I have magnified thy mercy which I had shown and gave in my life. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to fleeing it. He didn't want to go very far, Brother Anthony. He pitched his tent over there in Genesis 13:18. And he vexed his soul in seeing and hearing. You know what happens next? They leave. And his wife looks back. She didn't want to leave. Her heart was there, turned into a pillar of salt. In Luke 17, the Lord said, hey, remember Lot's wife. You see, they left but that old heart. She wanted to go back. Lot didn't want to leave. When they drug him out, knowing the judgment of God, knowing what those men were trying to do, all that and still. And then when he saw the judgment, they said, go up to that mountain. He said, let me just go over here where it's kind of near, close by. So what happened? He was seduced. Just like this country's been seduced. Just like the Christians have been seduced. You know what happens? Look down at verse 35. Lot's wife was destroyed. You know what happened later with Lot? Lot committed incest with his two daughters. In verse 37, thus were they both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And they were cursed by God, and they were the enemies of Israel, and they're part of the problem right now. And the next one, and the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of Ammon unto this day. They're the Ammonites, the enemies of Israel. And this man had vexed his soul. He'd want to give his daughters away. His wife turned to a pillar, and he ended up committing incest with his daughters. And he brought two of the greatest enemies of God into this world that day. We have been seduced in this nation by seeing and hearing. Not only that, we've not just been seduced. There's a seduction of the sin. I want to say this tonight. There's a subversion of this sin. The word subvert means is an attempt to transform the established social order and its structures of power, authority, and hierarchy. It refers to a process by which the values and principles of a system or a country in place is reversed. This sin is subverting this nation. It has taken this nation in the last 10 years and has completely subverted the Christians, the people that found this nation. They're the most hated people on this planet, in this country right now. And 99% is because of that sin right there. It has taken completely flipped this nation. They're glamorized, they're glorified, they're lifted up, and Christians are hated today for believing that book. Franklin Graham says this, quote, a lot has changed in 3 short years. Just 3 years ago, the president was on record as holding to the biblical definition of marriage. Now he can't say enough about his support for the LGBT agenda. And right after the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage, he had the gall to disgrace the White House by lighting it up in the gay pride rainbow colors to celebrate. This is arrogant, flaunting, sinful behavior in the face of Almighty God. My advice? He might want to have some extra lighting rods installed to the roof of the White House. In fact, he said, one translation of the Bible, Hosea 6:5 cites, this is why I've used prophets to nail, cut them down. I've killed them with the words of my mouth, and my judgment strikes like lightning. The Bible said in Luke, I beheld Satan as lightning fall to the earth. There's a subversion of this sin. In Genesis chapter 18, when the Lord comes up to Abraham, and he tells Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, no. He said, suppose there's 50 righteous there. Will you destroy it? And the Lord said, no. And it got down to 10. There was not 10 righteous people in that city. That thing had subverted that whole city. I've got an article up there where it says, over in the United Kingdom right now, in a survey, it says, it's according to the International Business Times, August 16, 2015, sexual orientation in the UK, half of the young people say they are not 100% heterosexual. Over in Oregon, I gave you this a few weeks, Oregon passed a law allowing state-paid sex change operation for kids 15 years old without parental consent. If you're a 15-year-old in Oregon, you can't get a tan, you can't go to a tanning bed, you can't, won't give you aspirin in school, can't drive a car, can't get a tattoo, but you can get a sex change operation without your parents' approval, and the state will pay for it. We have been subverted by this sin. You know it is against federal law to try to take somebody who's in this sin, who's a sodomite, and try to get them out of that sin. Did you know it's against federal law to do that? Stockton Police Lieutenant Toby Will in California was just removed from his job for writing a letter to a newspaper speaking out against same-sex marriage that took away his job. Atlanta Fire Chief Kevin Cochran was fired for writing a book on Christian marriage, and he had about 3 sentences on homosexuality, and they fired him. We have been subverted by this sin. There's an American pastor facing a federal lawsuit filed by George Soros, alleging that the pastor's messages on homosexuality are a crime against nature. An exclusive interview with the Brody File, Senator Ted Cruz says, pastor is being hauled off to jail by the government for preaching against homosexuality, he said, is a real risk in the future. Here's what he says. I think that it's a real risk. Some in the media ridicule the threat, saying there's no danger of the government coming after pastors. This is the usual response. He says, the specter of governor trying to determine what pastors preach from the pulpit meets with the policy views and political correctness of the government authority. The prospect is real, and it is happening now. The state of Kentucky, I gave you this a few weeks ago, the state of Kentucky is now forbidding its volunteer pastors. They have to sign a pledge. I gave it to you a few weeks ago. Who are part of the government counselors going in juvenile homes, missions, anything run by the government. They have to sign a pledge saying that they will not condemn homosexuality or call it a sin. Or they won't let you go in. That's the state of Kentucky. The lesbian mayor of Houston recently issued subpoenas for a bunch of pastors to turn over their sermons, see if they're preaching against homosexuality. There's a 56-year-old preacher, Paul Horner. You might want to write this down if you don't believe me. His name is Paul Horner. He's the pastor of the Christian Proctor Church in Vermont. He has been sentenced, Brother Robert, to 1 year in federal prison for refusing to marry a gay couple. He's going to jail for 1 year in federal prison because he won't marry 2 sodomites. It is happening in America, folks. We have been seduced and we are being subverted by this sin. The people in this building, listen, there are people in this country, a majority right tonight, that if they could hear this message, they would have me arrested what I preach today. And they would put you in jail for listening to it. And the day is going to come quickly, brethren, if Jesus Christ don't come back, what this man in Vermont is going through, every pastor in this country is going to face it. Already, and I've given you this in Sunday school, already, they are taking the tax-exempt status away from Christian schools because they won't let homosexuals and sodomites go to them. They're taking away their tax-exempt status. We are being subverted by this sin right before our eyes. Samuel Alito, who was one of the Supreme Court justices that voted against a same-sex marriage during that trial on same-sex marriage, he asked Solicitor General Donald Varelli in the recent Supreme Court sex case, quote, "In the Bob Jones case, the court held that a college was not entitled to tax-exempt status if it opposed interracial marriage or interracial dating, so would the same apply to a university or a college if it opposed same-sex marriage? Would they lose their tax-exempt status if you're a Christian college, like Bob Jones lost it?" He said, "It's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. They're already doing it." Just like he said, it hadn't been June the 25th, 3 months, and this thing is going on. We've been seduced, Brother Bob. We're being subverted right now. And I want to give you just quickly one thing, won't take but a minute. It's also one of the signs of this age. I have no doubt we're living in the last days before the Lord coming back. Thank God. And I have no doubt we are looking on the door of Jesus Christ coming back. And one of the signs the Bible gives us in Luke chapter 17. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Get 2 Timothy chapter 2. Billy Graham said this. Billy Graham preached a message called Turning the Tide of History. This is what he preached. Quote, "Even though America is just as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah ever were, and as deserving of the judgment of God, God would spare us if we would earnestly pray with our hearts being cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ." He said we're just as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah ever were. He preached that January the 7th, 1962. You know what amazes me about that, Brother Bob, Brother Lonzo? That we are so much more wicked today than we ever were then. I mean, we're light years ahead. And yet, you don't hear that kind of preaching today. You hear Mike Huckabee saying, "Well, you like classical music? You like opera? He likes sodomy? That's just not my cup of tea." What he said in that interview. And we are so much more wicked. We have been seduced and subverted by this sin. You don't hear that. I read this morning Romans, a commentary by Oliver Green. That was also 1962. And you don't hear that today. Why? Why aren't preachers preaching what I'm giving you today? You say, why? They have been seduced. They have been subverted by this sin. Like Lot, a righteous man, they vex their soul in seeing and hearing. Look at Luke chapter 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Luke 17, the Lord's talking. He said verse 28, Luke 17, 28, "Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be when the day when the Son of Man is revealed, Jesus like as the days of Lot." When he's coming back, you know what Lot was? It was sodomy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1. "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3, "without natural affection." That's what was going on in Sodom. Over there when they're beating on the door, wanting to know those men without any affection, no romance, nothing. Without natural affection. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and get Jude chapter 1. Just a couple of more things. 2 Peter chapter 2. bears a sign of this sin. This sin declares the judgment of God every time it shows up in the Bible. Every time it shows up in history, the Roman Empire fell because of rampant homosexuality. Every time it showed up in a country, God destroyed it. I told you a while back, I said, you better get your money out of the stock market. It crashed, didn't it? It's fixing to really crash. When God starts judging a nation, you know where He hits? He'll hit the economic system and He'll hit the military. You watch, we're going to be attacked. We can't do what we're doing and get away with it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood of the world of the ungodly. Watch it. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that live ungodly. Verse 9. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust, watch it, until the day of judgment to be punished. Judgment's coming to America. And I've told you, the greatest enemy America's got is not the Muslims, it's God of that Bible. Look at Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, pick it up verse 6, and the angel who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, had reserved an everlasting chains under darkness and the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God keeps warning you and warning you and warning you, and this nation's headed there. We're right there. America's in trouble. People like me and you that believe this book, believe what I'm preaching here this morning, I hope you're not pitching your tent towards Sodom. I hope you're not sitting there thinking, well, I don't think that preacher ought to be preaching about that. I like little old Neil Patrick. I like them little old perverts on TV. They look kind of sweet. Are you pitching that tent towards Sodom? Robert Bork, he was a justice that they rejected from the Supreme Court, that Reagan or Bush, one of them, tried to put in there. He wrote a book in 1996. I've got it at home. It's called Slouching Toward Gomorrah. About 600 pages of the sin and depravity that's going through America in 1996. Leonard Ravenhill, one of the great revivalist writers, he wrote a book in 1981 titled Sodom Had No Bible. You and I don't have the excuse. This country don't have the excuse Sodom had. That's what he's saying. Sodom didn't have a Bible to read. They didn't even have the law. And God brought that judgment on that sin. What in the world you think God's going to do to this nation? One more scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. God has blessed this nation. And I preach about this country, how God had found this country on the Word of God, how those pilgrims came over here. They had one purpose, to worship and serve God. They got on that land, their face before God, dedicated this country to God. I believe that Bible, brought their kids up, died for this country. This country was founded on the Word of God. It was founded, Jeremiah, by men that believed and died for this country and believed that book. And we have been seduced and subverted by this sickness of this sin. God has blessed us. He said one time, much given, much required. See, God's not going to let us get away with what Sodom got away with. Not what He's done in this nation. You don't believe me? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Here's the Lord talking. Verse 23. Verse 21, Matthew 11, 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than you. Watch it. Verse 23. And now Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You can put the United States in there, the Capernaum. The United States, if the mighty works that God had done in you and founded this great nation had been done in Sodom, she had repented a long time ago. I tell you, in the day of judgment, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than that nation. We've been seduced. We've been subverted. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's just going to get a lot worse. We hadn't even started what's about to happen with this thing before we get through. And you better pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. Brother Brian Tillman, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?